All right, I want to ask, can anyone here do a handstand? Yeah, you've been practicing that. No? Anyone else can do a handstand, really, or a headstand?
Headstand.
You can do a headstand? Would you do one? Yeah, I've got a pillow. No, you don't have to. I just wonder.
Well, now I have the proof that I can do it.
Well, I have a pillow. I was down in the youth room this morning and I got this beautiful pillow. Now you have to, if you do the headstand so that you can see the congregation. Okay? I just try one spot. Don't fall.
Should you do yoga?
Now tell everyone about. Are my parents are there?
Yep.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
No, I fractured my shoulder.
You probably shouldn't do
it. I can't do it.
It's called the defense. No, I can't. I just, Michael handed me the phone, and here we go. You're doing a headstand. Okay, now, how does it look? 17 look like? You can applaud. Go ahead.
You got a different perspective today. Kind of that sort of everybody doesn't look quite right, but they're still the same people, right? Everything was still mostly the same, but it was upside down. And how did Nancy look to you?
Upside down.
Upside down. Was that okay? Or, you know, when you do the try to frown or smile, and you're upside down and it looks like a smile or a frown. Who played that game when you were little? No, it's just Cassie. Yeah, we used to play it. Robin, you and I played that. I think we did. Do you ever purposely try to not stand on your head, but get a new perspective on things? Something's not working, or something is working, and you want to look at it differently. So anybody ever stand on their head to get a different perspective on things? I don't, but that's kind of a memorable way to introduce it. Think for a minute, what kinds of things have you ever done when you need to get a different perspective, a new perspective on something that either it wasn't working or you just wanted to have a new perspective? Pardon? Will you ask them? I wasn't asking for you to say anything. I just wanted to think about it. But thank you. Thank you for that. No, I was just pausing to think. Just that, I know that the silence doesn't work all the time, but just keep thinking. This week, it's been about a new perspective for me. Like a new congregation, new office, new big cut on my finger while I was breaking down boxes. The X-Acto knife missed the box and hit my finger, and oof. That's why the Band-Aid on there. Thank you, whoever made the first aid kit here, because that I really needed that on my first day here. That was something. But, just about everything in life, at least for me, has been turned a little upside down. And as a matter of fact, I feel a little topsy-turvy because coming here, it's a different community. It snowed on my second day here, and I had trouble driving. I've got to go over to Nell's for lunch, but I don't know if I can get there. And I'm sliding around the street, and then there was no place to park, and I had to go down past the bank, and it's the bank there, right? Past Nell's. And then I had to walk through the snow, and I wasn't really dressed for snow. I was dressed for not snow, because it wasn't, the weather forecast said just maybe an inch. Well, that didn't work this time. What's the weather forecast for this week? Maybe an inch. So we should plan on 10 or 9. Tuesday there's going to be a lot of snow, so I may be staying the night in my office on Tuesday night. We'll see. We'll see with that. This week's reading is from Luke 6, 17 to 26. And it's a perspective changer because there are some things here that Jesus says. This man, Jesus. You've heard of him? Raise your hand if you've heard of this guy. There's a song about him, Anyone know a song about Jesus? What song? Yes, who knows Jesus loves me? Do you want to sing it? Okay, let's sing it. All right, you ready? We need a note. Yeah, well, go ahead. You come up and play. Yeah, remember, that was the part that was a surprise and you came up. Yeah, just as if I didn't ask you about that. That part. Yeah. Okay, give us the note. Then.
Jesus loves me.
And you all knew that one very well. Do you know where that comes from? It's about 1860. There was a book called See and Say, and the book is forgettable, but there was a poem in it called Jesus Loves Me. That's become one of the most famous, at least children's songs, if not one of the most famous songs. It's one of those songs that just everybody knows. It's like we're born knowing that. And that the line in there, little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. That little ones to him belong. Do you remember the Bible story of the children coming to Jesus and the disciples tried to shoo them away, as they should have actually, because that was the place of children in society, not important. And Jesus sort of turned that upside down and said, no, they are important, let them come, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus uses this kingdom of heaven or this kingdom of God again here. He liked to turn things all topsy-turvy, and this week's reading, it isn't out of that character at all. So Jesus found a place to preach. The Bible says he found a level place, and that's why this particular sermon that our scripture reading comes from is called the Sermon on the Plain. Ever heard of the Sermon on the Plain? What have you, the Sermon on the what? Sermon on the Mount, you've heard. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus climbs up on a mountainside to preach and says some very similar things that are right here, and Bible scholars debate all day. Years and years, all day. And they still debate whether the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount are the same or they're different. Because it could be that Jesus climbed up on a mountainside and then there was a flat place and he stood there, because it's really hard to stand on a hill. Could have been that, and so the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount are the same. Or it could be that Jesus preached two or several sermons, and these are just kind of compilations of the things he said. Uh-oh, am I too loud? That part, maybe I stood somewhere too close. Or it could be that these were one sermon, just reported two different ways from two different perspectives. But the message of these two sermons, and then today the Luke reading, extends far beyond time and place. So we'll let the Bible scholars debate where it was, when it was, because time and place isn't nearly as important as the message. And there are some differences with this morning's reading from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. You've heard of Beatitudes? The sayings of blessedness or happiness. There are fewer blessed R's in this one. There's just four of them. I think there's eight in Matthew, and they're very straightforward without any accompanying flowery language. In Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit. In Luke, blessed are you who are poor. No question as to what Jesus means there. Blessed are you who are poor. And in Luke here, they're accompanied by these corresponding woes, which are nasty sayings. Woe to you doesn't just mean, oh, you poor thing. It's not a kind thing to say. When Jesus says, woe to the rich, he's saying, you're in trouble. Woe to you. It's so opposite from blessed are that it would have been offensive to the people who heard it. And so Jesus took these commonly held thoughts in the Beatitudes and he turns them upside down. The poor have God's kingdom and the rich have already received their reward. And the hungry will be full and the full will be... Yep, hungry. There you go. The weeping will laugh and the laughing will... And finally, the hated and despised have reason to rejoice, and the well thought of shouldn't see that as a good thing. I like to be well thought of. And thinking the opposite, that's Jesus turning it upside down. And the idea that Jesus showed favor, like at the beginning, on those whom society looks down on, that's no profound thought. Because all throughout the gospel, all throughout Jesus' ministry, it's present that Jesus cares for the poor. Jesus cares for those who everyone else sort of casts aside. Restoration, forgiveness, and unconditional love are such a part of what we believe as followers of Jesus. Restoration, forgiveness, unconditional love, such a part of what we believe as followers of Jesus. And I'd like to point out from this reading, or at least suggest, that it's not a reading of punishment or reward, that if you're hungry, you'll get food, and if you've got food, you're going to be hungry later. It's not like this threat that this is going to happen. It's more stating this reality. And the reality is not the one that we know, because in our way of thinking, in our world, if you're full, then you're full. And if you're hungry, you're hungry. And if you're poor, you're poor. And if you're rich, you're rich. And there comes different baggage with that. But Jesus takes and turns it upside down and said, no, in the kingdom of God, and that's a whole other subject, but in God's world, it's different. In God's world, if you're hungry here, you're going to be full. Or he doesn't even say it in going to be. He says, you are full. It's like this present tense thing. And the people who heard it, some of them, the poor, who Jesus preached to, had to listen to that and say, this is great. This is great. There's something good coming, or there's something good now. This is wonderful. And the rich who were hearing it were offended, were upset, and said, how dare he think that? These are some of the things that Jesus said that led to the crucifixion, that led to the trial, that led to the priests saying, no, we don't want it that way because we like the rich. They put lots of money in the offering plates, you know. Speaking of the offering plate, yeah, we'll talk about that later. Let's fill it up today. No, sometimes we hear something that gives us a new perspective. The people that Jesus preached to, whether or not they liked it, got a new perspective. They were forced to see things differently. They may not have even agreed with it, and they may have only thought of it for a few seconds, but they were forced, at least for that moment, to say, the rich will be poor, the poor will be rich. I like that, or that's exciting, but they got this new perspective. And sometimes we get a new perspective on things and we react to it. And sometimes it's in joy that we react. Sometimes it's in anger, or maybe it's happiness, maybe it's sadness, maybe it's in contempt. How dare somebody say that? And Jesus stirred all those kinds of feelings, happiness, anger, contempt, sadness. He stirred them all when he walked the earth, and I think he still does it today. The question is, what do you do with those feelings? You know what to do with joy. You know what to do with excitement. You know what to do with happiness. You celebrate them. But what do you do with contempt when you feel that? What do you do with anger? What do you do with sadness? Can you seek to get a new perspective that gives you peace even in the middle of that uneasiness that comes there? Or is there a blessing in those feelings? I don't know. I have a challenge for this week. Something to try. Make a little change. To see things from a different perspective. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. Like it may be driving a different way to work. You know, or it may be packing a lunch instead of buying it. Or rearranging your room so that the sun comes in your eyes when you wake up in the morning. Whatever it is, it's going to be a small thing. And I don't think that that little change in routine is going to greatly affect your life. It's not going to have you go, oh, God loves me because I changed my room around. Or I have a new thing to do in life because I drove a different way to work. Something might happen when you're driving a different way to work. There might be an opportunity, or you'll know something. But that's not really the point of why I'm asking you to do that. The little change will be something that you'll notice. And when you notice this is different, that's when you get to do something that hopefully will make a difference. Every day when you notice this is something different, say a prayer. And the prayer can be something short like, God, give me a new perspective. Show me the way you want me to be. That's an easy one. Or maybe you can pray the Serenity Prayer. Anyone familiar with the Serenity Prayer? I love this prayer. The short version. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Or maybe you can recite a short line from the Lord's Prayer. We recite it at the end of every meeting here, but that one line, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that, a simple prayer, when something is different, the sun's in your eyes, you're like, I don't like this sun in my eyes. Oh, but that's a difference. God, guide me today. Give me a new perspective. Just done like that. And trust that God's going to do something, because God does stuff. God gives us new perspectives. We don't know what we need it for. Maybe we do, maybe we don't, but God has a way of being able to change things about us when maybe we weren't ready for it, maybe we were ready for it, but God can change us with simple little things. And these prayers that we have, not saying the prayer or not changing our room around or driving a different way, doesn't stop God from changing us or giving us a new perspective. God can do it anytime God wants to do it. But this makes us a little more receptive to understanding, to feeling, to getting what God is calling us to do. And maybe you could keep a short journal. Maybe you could write in a diary. Anybody journal or diary? Anybody blog? I'm a blogger. Look, Heather, you say you blog, don't you? No? But you know about them. Anyone know what a blog is? There we go. Blogs are, I love them. You can go on Google and like type in Kirk Moore and blog, and it'll get you to a place and you can write or read all kinds of ramblings that I have, thoughts about stuff, or things that don't matter at all. Like, here's a picture of me if I was a cartoon. There's things like that on there, and they're strange, and sometimes they mean something, but I tend to write a little bit. Nothing that my mother couldn't read. Okay, Mom? Nothing that you couldn't read. But you can go there and look anything. But maybe you'd blog. Maybe you'd write in a journal. Maybe, and you don't have to share this with me, but keep track of what kinds of things you notice. I want to leave you, while you're thinking about that, with another new perspective kinds of things, because Jesus giving us a new perspective reminds me of an essay that I read a couple years back where things are turned upside down. Jesus turns us upside down. That's that upside down in a new perspective. There's a fellow named Tom Peterson. I don't know if this is the fellow who does all of the business motivational speaking. Maybe that's Tom Peters. So I don't really know who Tom Peterson is. This essay that he's written, I'm going to read just a little part of it. It captures the flavor of what Jesus inspired in the Luke reading. And if you want to read the whole essay, there are some posted outside the office on paper, or there's a link. If you Google Union Congregational Church, you can go, and we do have a website. You click on there, and there's a little spot there to click on today's sermon, and you can read it online. And then there's a little link in there to be able to read this this essay from Tom Peterson. Here we go. I dreamed the other night that all the maps in the world had been turned upside down. Library atlases, road maps of Cincinnati, wall-sized maps in the war rooms of the great nations, even antique maps, with such inscriptions as, Here be dragons, were flipped over. What had been north was now south. East was west, like a glob of melting vanilla ice cream. Antarctica now capped the schoolroom globes. In my dream, I saw a child crying in Calcutta. Her parents wouldn't buy her any more video games until her birthday. I saw her mother drive to the supermarket and load her cart with frozen and junk food, vegetables, cheese, meat, and women's magazines. I also saw a mother in Houston baking bread in an earthen oven. She had been crying because there were no more beans for her family. One of her children listlessly watched her. He was a blonde boy, about 6 years old. He slowly turned his empty, haunting gaze toward me. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us a new perspective. Thank you for for sending Jesus to teach us, to guide us, to give us life. Thank you for giving us your love. Help us to be moved and challenged to seek you, to seek to understand what you have called us to do, to seek to watch for when you are giving us a new perspective. Amen.